This is Dudes Who Bet Sports.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Dudes Who Bet Sports for another week. We are here to recap the Kentucky Derby. We're also going to talk, of course, NHL and NHL and NBA playoffs. So a lot going on today. Papa Dude, it feels like it's been a while since we've done this. I think it's just because I've been so busy lately.
You have been swamped, and I have too. And it has been a while, but man, I'm telling you, this hockey is if you're a hockey fan and you just want to watch great hockey, this is unbelievable.
Last night was incredible. To say I had a blast watching the games last night would be an understatement. We'll get into it in detail in a minute, but let's talk about the games just real quick last night, since you brought it up and they're fresh on our minds. I thought both of them were just amazing. Let's start Boston and Carolina. I think a lot of people assumed Carolina was going to get back on track last night. The Rangers did not allow it, and should we say Shesterkin did not allow it. He was incredible in that game.
The Carolina goalie was good as well.
He was, but he's just not quite Shesterkin.
Who really is right now? Right. He may be the best that's still out there.
Yeah.
It's just a shame, and this is the way hockey is, of course. We've already lost a really good team in Vegas. Already done. We're going to lose two more, either the Rangers or Carolina or Dallas or Colorado. It's going down. These are just quality teams. They're going at each other in the second round of the playoffs because the league is so solid right now. And that game last night, it was just incredible. I love, if you can make it through the intermissions on overtime hockey.
Yeah.
In overtime, there's no breaks in the action. It's just go. And, you see those guys start to slow down just a little bit.
Yep.
They're leg weary. But, man, those are two quality teams, and it's a shame either one of them had to lose last night.
Well, speaking on that same theme, this Dallas-Colorado series, it's going to be awesome. Dallas is down 3-0. I didn't see the Colorado Avalanche are down 3-0. I saw none of the Dallas goals because I'm watching the overtimes of Carolina, and I'm seeing up at the top they had the scoreboard. I'm like, 1-0. It's 2. It's 3. I bet the Avalanche. I can't believe this.
Me too.
They come back and win. They get a goal. They come back. They tie it at 3. Then Dallas kind of takes the game back over a little bit. You're like, damn it, they're still going to lose. And then the Avalanche score to win it in overtime. What a huge win for Colorado.
That is that will come back to haunt Dallas, I think. Of course, you can't count Dallas out because of what they did in the first round with Vegas. They lost the first two games at home, came back and won the next two in Vegas. This is a different animal. When Colorado is rolling and they get goaltending, that's just average. It doesn't have to be great. They are the best. I just don't think anybody's as talented as they are. It's in that goaltending and their defense. If they get it, they're going to be very hard to beat. And that was a game that you talk about guts. And, I picked Colorado last night because, Dallas was coming off a grueling 7-game series. And I just thought that was a game that Colorado would get a goal early and beat them. Didn't think it was going to go that way for Dallas to win. How many times have you seen in hockey a team gets ahead 3-0 early and struggles to close it out? It's just what they say, a 2-goal lead in hockey is the worst lead or something.
They say a 3-goal lead is the worst lead, actually,
in hockey. It's hard to protect it because you got 3-goal lead. What's your tendency? Slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Don't give them anything. And what happens then? You just kind of get complacent and they score a goal and then they get another one and then boom. You're in a battle.
Yeah, you lose your edge basically. Yep. I knew when the score got 3-2, I knew right then, okay, we've got a shot to cash the ticket here, right? Yeah. When you're down 3-0, you don't sit there if you've got a bet on the team down 3-0 and go, well, it's the easiest goal easiest lead to come back through hockey. Like, you don't think like that. But when they made it 3-2 and they made it 3-2 kind of early-ish in the second period, I thought, all right, they've got a great shot to win the game. Yeah. And they still had to work their ass off for it. I mean, it was a battle all the way to the end. Because to Dallas's credit, once the game got tied back up, at three, which was very early, a minute, less than a minute into the third period. Dallas really fought back and kind of
Look good.
Yeah, yeah,
they're solid all over the place. I mean, they're just really good.
Yep.
And it was a hell of a game.
For my money, well, let's save that for later. We'll talk about the series prices. Let's change the Derby real quick. Then we'll go back to the NHL and the NBA. Sure. That's just kind of a what happened last night was really amazing. Oh, we should say one more thing before we get onto this. How about our Thunder? I did watch a lot of that game. Yeah. They played great in game one against Dallas. Easy win for the Thunder.
Easy. And I was a little worried about them. I bet them again last night. I was a little bit worried about they've been off forever. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you know, it's like Mark was saying here about Colorado looks a little rusty from a layoff. I was really worried about the Thunder coming out a little bit rusty as well. And they didn't. And they played well. You know what this team's doing? They're defending.
They really are.
They're defending. And that was something I was a little bit worried about. I think they're going to beat Dallas. Dallas is missing something. I don't know what it is, but they don't play well every night, you know. Big game. Game two is huge.
Yeah.
Thunder got to get that one. Yep. And then I think they're going to be okay. So this is a big one coming up, the second game.
For sure. Will SGA win the MVP tonight? Probably. I mean,
he should.
He's my MVP, but I don't know if he will or not. I don't know how those
go. When you look at the NBA, there are so many worthy candidates.
Yeah.
In the NBA, you got Luka, you got Jokic, you got what's his name in New York? Brunson has been unreal in these playoffs. There's just so many. But this guy, if you watch him night in and night out, he is as good at making big shots.
Yeah.
As there is, he is solid. He's got to win it. He may not because he's in OKC and they don't get the publicity that, you know, these other guys do. But, man, he is so silky smooth.
There were some times last night, you know, you look at that final score and you wouldn't think, but there were a couple times last night, kind of late third quarter, early fourth quarter, they needed a bucket. It was getting close. Every time he delivered, man, he is just super.
He's hard to stop.
He is
so good.
All right, we'll get back to it, but we got to talk about the Kentucky Derby here first, and then you know, we'll get back to the playoffs in the NBA and the NHL. So 150th Kentucky Derby in the books. It is Mystic Dan, the Southwest winner, third in the Arkansas Derby. He wins the Kentucky Derby. We'll kind of just give an overall outlook of this and kind of put a bow on it, at least for our show is concerned. Mystic Dan, I mean, I think we both kind of talked about, you know, if you picked him, that is a very, very good pick. It was just kind of hard to do it after that Arkansas Derby. But what were your thoughts on Mystic Dan now that all the dust has settled?
Well, I sat back again, and I've watched it a couple times, and I watched it before we went on. He never had to do anything. I'm sure you've watched it. He just stayed in the same place, right on the rail or a little off. He had one little bump when he had to get through. Another horse kind of crowded him. When he made his move to go down the rail, he got bumped just a little. And it was enough to throw off a lot of horses, but he was strong enough and big enough to get through. That's the only thing he had to do that entire race. The jockey set him right where he needed to be. He stayed out of trouble. How in the world? I don't know, but he did. He got the perfect trip, in my opinion.
Yeah, Mark Heft with the comment, and I totally agree with it. I'll read it now. He said the best trip won the Derby. I don't think there's any doubt. Give Brian Hernandez a ton of credit.
Oh, yeah.
Run the three hole, hustled him out of the gate, got that position that Dornock probably wanted. He cut his ass right off, just sat right on that rail, and then luckily Track Phantom started to come back, and that rail opened up just enough. You were It's a really close or a really tight hole he had to squeeze through, gets it, and then away we go. So pretty, I mean, just pretty incredible.
Yeah, and again, how many times do we see in a Derby, the perfect trip wins? And you got to give the horse credit. He was right there the whole way. He never lost track of the lead. I mean, he was within the distance it took to get the lead. When he got that opening move, he shot through it.
Yeah.
And he held them off. You know, they came and got him, but he had enough to get there. You've got to give him credit. I mean, it was a great ride and a great win. Whether he'll win again, I don't know, but we'll see. But it was a tremendous run. It really was.
Yeah. Before we move on to the second and third place finishers, I kept Mark comment on there for that to kind of get us going into that discussion. The one thing about it, and we're going to talk a lot about, should there have been a DQ? Did the second and third place finishers cost each other the race? All this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if Mystic Dan doesn't run that well, which was a great race, if he doesn't run that, then we're not talking about for second and third. We're talking about first and second. So Yes. You do have to give Mystic Dan a ton of credit for holding on. Now, let's go to Sierra Leone and Forever Young. Mark, I kept your comment up. You said the best horse arguably ran third. It was an exciting finish. Chad Brown needs to get Sierra Leone corrected with the paddling down the stretch. So if you missed it, with Sierra Leone, who got second, he turned for home. He looked like he had a head full of steam, like he usually does. Kind of looked like he may be the horse to win it. And then there he goes, lugging into the left. We saw him lug into the left badly at the Bluegrass. However, there weren't any horses to his immediate inside. Right. And so as he kept lugging in, it didn't really matter because there was nobody, you know, close to him on the inside. There were horses to his inside, but not close. So he logged in and it didn't affect this time. Unfortunately, Forever Young right there with him. Mm-hmm. They basically butt heads the whole stretch of this race. I think Sierra Leone cost himself and Forever Young the victory here. What do you think?
No, I agree. Totally. Yeah. Should there have been a disqualification? I'm not sure there shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
They cost each other the race. That's for sure. Yeah. Had they not bumped, who would have known? Who knows what would have happened? But and that's another break that Mystic Dan got. I don't think he would have won the race if those two weren't bumping each other. So
yeah, it was incredible to watch just how many times they came together. And I think if just one of those times they hadn't have come together, you might have saw a different outcome. And then Tyler Gaffleon pretty much grabbing, Forever Young right at the wire. I mean, that's an automatic disqualification. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you didn't at least have the inquiry signed up. I know when we were watching live, we were like, there's got to be an inquiry here. At least there never was anything. So that was crazy as well. It was just unbelievable to watch that happen. And by the way, let's get into Forever Young. He probably lost the race like all UAE Derby runners, or at least most of them, out of the gate. Once again, this is a horse that I thought would be middle of the pack, maybe upper middle of the pack. He's towards the very back because he gets crushed out of the gate. They got to figure it out. These international horses, like Forever Young was there. It was his to win. But if they figure out the gate and they finally get the desired trip they want one day, I mean, Forever Young may have won by three lengths. I thought that was just another, just a brutal trip for the Japanese horse.
Both horses. You can argue to your blue in the face that these are the two best. And it's a solid argument. When you look at where number two, Sierra Leone started from, two slot, made a great move. Like he does. We all said he couldn't do that in the Kentucky Derby. You couldn't win from that post with his style. And he damn near did. And then this other one, terrible out of the gate, showed a lot of guts. Definitely the best showing for a Japanese horse. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was just one of those things. And it was a great race. That's for sure. A lot of us are pissed that Mystic Dan won. But,
yeah.
You know, you got to give him credit. He did run very, very well.
Yeah, I had a 2.11 exacta that would have been there. Either way, it comes in. So, I mean, it's probably only a $40 or $50 for a dollar payout, but still, it's a cash in the Derby. Yeah. That's something. Update here, Tyler Gaffleon has been called into the steward's room, was called in the steward's room yesterday for a meeting because of the ride in the Derby. Yeah, so there it is. There's the problem with racing. This is not a new or a different problem with racing. There's not a DQ. on the racetrack, but then a jockey will get fined and suspended for a ride, and you're like, yeah. Well, how did that happen? And why wasn't there a DQ? Yeah,
they wait till Tuesday.
Right.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
Pedlo says that he likes that they didn't put up the inquiry sign, though it looks worse with the pictures that have come out now. And I think that's why you at least light up the inquiry sign. Maybe you make a change, maybe you don't. But when there's that kind of bumping and stuff like that happens, you got to kind of take a look at it for reasons, kind of what you said there, because, you know, especially with the Kentucky Derby, there, every little thing is going to be captured, right, by video. And so they clearly didn't, as they were watching kind of a replay back to make sure they didn't need to light up the inquiry sign, they clearly didn't catch that, you know, Tyler Gaffney grabbed Forever Young.
What? Yeah, why would
so, and again, that is an automatic disqualification. Another jockey can't touch a
different
no. horse. So people debating the bumping, it's like, okay, I get it. Like, you either take him down or you don't. You see that in racing a lot. But touching another horse, that's automatic. And if you see that at all, it's an automatic, you know, you move the horse down. So
do you think, as far as the bumping goes, they were both bumping each other? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what they were thinking. Hey, how are we going to – maybe, but grabbing the other horse.
I think that's what they thought. It was mutual contact. Yeah. But, I mean, if all you had to do is watch the head-on once, and if you go look at the Derby replay that we did – I saw the head on and said, oh no, Sierra Leone's doing all of this. Like, mm-hmm. like Forever Young, he's really not coming out on him. Like, he's getting hit, you know, but yes, that's kind of the argument of if you left him up, but again, it's just automatic. If you touch another horse and you're a jockey of a different horse, that's it. That's automatic. That's not a debatable thing. So
no, not at all. So,
and again, if you like the inquiry and at least you could say you looked at it, you know, people would still be bad, but anyway,
it's crazy.
It is.
So the other story is fierceness. Just, mm-hmm. you just can't bump him. You just can't touch the horse.
Well, yeah. If you want to move on, I mean, we could talk about fierceness here for sure. And it probably is time to move on. How much can you really talk about this situation? So, yeah, fierceness. Well, here, I'll put this coming up. I bet Sierra Leone, I think it was an easy DQ. Yeah, I do too. Anyway, let's talk about fierceness. How many didn't you think we had this Kentucky Derby in really, really good shape?
Yes.
Midway up the backside.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. I was a little worried, though, as they rounded the turn and were on the turn, he wasn't getting away from him, mm-hmm. like I've seen him do. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit worried there. Down the backstretch, no. He was in perfect shape. The pace was not outlandish at all. Mm-mm. And I thought he had it. But when they were on the turn, he wasn't grabbing the lead. He didn't get up there like he does. And then he got bumped just a little bit. That horse cannot be hit. It doesn't look like he's just intimidated. I think his size, and then in a 20 horse field, you know, how are you going to run with not getting bumped? Even the winner had to go through and get hit a little bit to get to the win. So I'm thinking that's what happened, because he was running okay, and maybe Mark's right. He did look a little done entering that final turn. Maybe he was. But I just think he can't handle a big old field of horses.
Yeah, I agree. I thought up the backside, he's sitting in that perfect spot. It we talked about it 100 times leading up to that race, literally. Hey, this is what he's got to do. This is what you got to see out of him. And he did all of it. And you're like, oh, he got the hard part done. Now he just has to fire. And there's really no reason why he won't. And you're right. It was once that turn started, it's like, okay, start to separate now. Because the other thing is, and you mentioned it on the live show, I'm not worried about the two horses in front of him.
Oh, yeah,
this Steel and Track Phantom. And you had the feeling, look, if he's who we think he is, one snap of the finger, he'll be ahead of those two.
Yeah.
And then, hey, it's just, who's going to come get him? right? And so you start to look towards the back. And I was already starting to look towards the back on who's coming. And then I scroll up my eyes, scroll up to the front, and I go, oh, shit, he's behind. Like, he's not going to fire. Okay, yeah. Well, that was fun.
And that was the whole thing we were worried about with him.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see how they go forward down the way this summer with this horse, what they do, because I don't think there's anything you can do to train a horse to not be intimidated by other horses. I mean, humans are intimidated by other humans. You know, you can't do anything about that. So I don't think there's any way you can train. What are you going to do? Just go out there and just let another horse beat him to death? And when you're training and you can't do that. If that is the issue, and it sure to me looks like it is a problem.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Of course, there's no races that have 20 horses in them either. So.
Yeah, I think Dennis kind of said what we were all saying. I didn't know if he's going to win by 10, but I thought, oh man. To me, it was like, this feels like it's going to be a really easy 3-1 right
and,
now.
And Super Mario makes a great point.
Yeah, and this, go ahead.
I mentioned that on the live show.
Yeah.
He's in every other race horse. And that pattern is holding.
Yes, this could be what it is. I mean, and again, we talked about on the live show, it's like we think it's bumping around that's the problem, but we don't know. And Pletcher even said, I don't know. I don't really have explanations other than that. And Mario is right here. Maybe he just can't run two races in a row. Maybe. I mean, it is a perfect pattern through six races now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he's a enigma. I'm guessing he's skipping the Preakness, right?
Yeah, he won't be in the Preakness. We'll see. You know, Belmont, maybe. You know, I think Mike Rapoli's going to want to try to you know, obviously win that race up at Saratoga, you got him, and you've got Mindframe, who also is probably going to be there. So we'll see who enters. But yeah, as of now, only horse that's a total lock for the Preakness, and that's no surprise, is just Steel. Just Steel.
Oh, no. That's no surprise whatsoever. So of these 20 horses that are on the board right now, that's the only horse that's in the Preakness as of now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only horse that's like fully that Lucas said he's fully committed.
Yeah. Committed.
And the only one other than Lucas that's even thinking about it is the winner, Mystic Dan. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion Mystic Dan will be there right now.
I don't either. So,
we'll see what happens there.
You know, I was talking to somebody today about this, and that's kind of on the fringe of knowing a little bit about it. And they go, I thought the Triple Crown was a big deal. Of course, we talked about this until we're blue in the face. But I was telling this person, I said, not anymore. It's not. And it's the way they train horses now.
It's
just a shame.
It's a big deal if you have a horse going for one, but as far as three races being a series of races that a bunch of horses are going to run in and they're all meaningful, it's kind of, that's over. And anybody that wants to debate that, you're debating with an opinion versus a fact.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I it is not my opinion that trainers don't view this as a Triple Crown series of races where we want to run in all three. It's right there on the page. 5 seconds after they crossed the wire, every trainer there was like, no,
yeah,
we're not doing it. Yeah.
And you said it's important to, if you got one that's involved in the Triple Crown, well, there's only one that can be.
Right.
And that one horse is not committed to this yet. So.
Yeah. And look, last year we did get Mage. 2 years ago, we did not get Rich Strike in it. And so if Mystic Dan doesn't run, that's 2 out of 3 years. Mm-hmm. And if Mystic Dan doesn't run, that's one of the most aggressive trainers we have left.
No doubt about it.
So it would really, really just be telling of the situation that's at hand. Now, end of the day, I do think Mystic Dan's going to be there. But
I don't think Kenny McPeak can keep from doing it. Do you?
No, and I don't blame him. And
I don't either. Oh no, I don't either. When are you gonna have a chance to win a Triple Crown?
Yeah.
He just thinks this, you know, unless wise heads prevail and the horse is not ready, he just didn't come out of it very, very well. So
Yeah, let's recap. Since Justify, real quick, Dennis says if Mystic Dan doesn't run, it would be what, three out of the last five with Country House. Now, let's go back even further. We had Justify in 18. So let's talk 19. That was the Country House situation / maximum security, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, neither one of them were there. 20s, COVID. I don't think you can count that. 21 was a weird situation, right? You had the Medina Spirit thing. I mean, I don't know, right? Like, do you count that? Do you not? Mandaloon wasn't there. Who really was the Derby winner in 21? That's not really a Triple Crown problem. That was just more of a mess, right? Rich Strike, no, in 22. We did have Mage last year trying to win that second leg in 23, and then this year still up in the air. So it's hit and miss. It is definitely not a automatic, hey, they're going anymore. And like I said, some of that is not really the Triple Crown's fault. It's been weird, you know, but end of the day.
The fact that there is a hesitation to enter the Kentucky Derby winner into the Preakness, that's a story. There was never a hesitation before. It was, we're going if the horse comes out of it. Okay.
Right. Exactly. Is Mystic Dan interested in the Preakness if there's moisture in the track? I would think so. And I mean, we'll just have to see how it goes. You know, Baffert with two fresh horses, you know it's going to be tough, even if it's a monsoon. So,
and one of the horses is really good. So,
yeah.
We're looking at a really good horse.
I think we're debating two different things here. Marco Lou says Triple Crown should be hard to win. I agree. I am not sure why we have this expectation that we should have a Triple Crown horse every year. We're not saying that at all.
I agree with you, Marco. We're not saying that. No.
But that's not even what we're talking about.
No.
What we're talking about is there should at least be an attempt every year.
Yeah. If we had
not a winner.
Yeah. If we had a Triple Crown horse every year,
right,
it wouldn't be as fascinating as it is.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. But what we're saying is, why is it a hesitation that they're not running the Derby winner in the Preakness? I would do that unless the horse isn't healthy. Mm-hmm. It'd be a no-brainer to me. Mm-hmm. And not saving for the Belmont. I'm just saying, for the sport and for everything, the Triple Crown. I mean, if you're a trainer and you win the Triple Crown, you're a Hall of Famer. Your legacy is set.
Yeah.
Unless the owner's telling me no, or the horse is telling me no.
Yeah.
That horse is going to be running in a Preakness if he's mine.
No, me too. But that's kind of I'm telling you, that mindset that you just laid out that I totally agree with is not the mindset of these trainers. A lot of them, some of them for sure, but a lot of them, it's just not going to happen. So I'm giving you reality. You know,
you just look at the old timer, Lucas.
Yeah, he says sure. I think Mark Cassie is definitely one would say sure. I think Kenny McPeak is one that will say sure.
I think eventually he will. The fact that he's hesitating though shows us that he's got a little caution about it.
Yeah. Shoddy says she doesn't think Forever Young or Sierra Leone would have ran back in the Preakness if they would have won, I'm guessing.
Don't know.
Hard to say. Hard to say.
I don't know if the Japanese connections could have resisted it.
Well, I think they could resist it a lot easier than maybe Chad Brown.
Yeah, I'm the same way, I think.
Yeah.
I would have been shocked if Sierra Leone had won the Derby and wouldn't try to win the Preakness.
Right. Marco says Mystic Dan will not win the Preakness. Not sure why they would go. Amuth will destroy Mystic Dan. I kind of agree with the Amuth comment.
Well, too.
But again,
he's the only horse that has a chance to win the Triple Crown,
Marco. Yeah, I mean, that's just
why you go.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
It's the first Derby winner for McPeak, right?
Right.
Well, he might as well go for the first Preakness as well. So.
Well, it'd be his second Preakness. He had a Swiss Skydiver.
With a
dramatic. That was a COVID year, actually.
Yeah.
Beat Authentic in a great race. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see if he runs. I hope he runs. We need him to run.
Oh, we do.
From a horse racing standpoint.
Yeah, the mystique of the Preakness is gone if the Derby winner's not in it.
Well, that's just it. And especially if it's a willing, able, and healthy horse.
It's a totally different story.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on. Let's put a bow on it. Any final thoughts on the Derby before we move on?
No, it was a typical one. I've had to listen to it for the last 4 days from my best friend and how smart he is. But I will say this, he was solid on that horse. It wasn't just a throw some money on a horse. He goes, I like this horse. And so I got to give him credit. And, he said he was so nervous down that stretch. He said, I just about died whenever those other two came out. Yeah.
Well, to his point, I thought watching it live, the horse had won, talking about Mystic Dam, but very, very close, obviously. When they slowed it down the first replay, I wasn't sure because he didn't get the greatest of bobs. So I still wasn't sure until they put that up. So I bet he was about to die, for sure.
Yeah.
Marco brought up the last point I wanted to touch on. Most wagered on Kentucky Derby since 1989.
Really?
And one of the most viewed derbies ever, up 11% from last year. The gambling age is here. It is now legal in so many states, over 30 states now. Still got some big ones left, like the one we're sitting in currently, like California. But the gambling age is here. People are interested in gambling. It's easier to gamble now than ever before in this country. And look, it's just going to grow. Gambling is going to just grow and grow and grow. There will be a day where 50 of 50 states will have it passed. I don't know if I'll be alive, but it's going to happen. We are as crazy as this sounds, gambling is probably the least popular right now than it ever will be in this country again, because it's just going to grow and grow and grow as it becomes more accessible and more acceptable throughout this country. Mm-hmm. Here's the good news. We saw that gambling influx. They got interested in horse racing. Here's the bad news. They're not interested in it again. We only have one race that is getting to the general gambling public. We have got to find a way to get to the general gambling public more than just one time a year. That's the challenge for horse racing. They have got to become more appealing to the sports gambler, or we're going to talk about how big the sport is once a year, and the rest of the time we'll have small gains or small losses, but we're not really going to grow.
If you want to keep this going, then you do something about the Kentucky Derby winning horse not running in the Preakness. If that means you're going to have to change the damn rules that have been there forever, you got to do it.
Well, it's not just that. We have got to find a way to, when it's Florida Derby Day, when it's Arkansas Derby Day,
it's a different,
when it's Rebel Stakes Day.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to the level of the Kentucky Derby, but we have to get more people interested.
You know what I think?
Day in, day out basis.
Yeah.
And
there's, okay, on Kentucky Derby Day, and I know why they do it. There's too much time. Too much time they kill.
Yeah.
And people can't sit still long enough to watch all that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have coverage of these big days, you got to make these races bam, 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 bam. You got to figure that out somewhere to where you're tuning in. And you're watching this big race, and this, and you don't have all this dead time talking about these damn horses 500,000 times. People don't want, they don't care. They don't really want to hear that stuff. They really don't.
They don't. The biggest problem, though, is, and I my eyes really got open to it doing the show on VEASAN Saturday, which went fantastic. If you did catch it, it was a great show. Patrick did a great job hosting that show, and it was good, but. When we had a production meeting about it to kind of go over what we were going to do, and even throughout the show a little bit, talking with people that work at VEASAN and the producer of the show, they just, it's not even so much that they don't understand horse racing. They don't understand what any of it means from a betting standpoint.
No.
Like, it, to me, we are going to have to curtail this game as as betting just becomes more widespread and popular, we're going to have to curtail it to these new people coming into the betting world. Well, and make it more like a horse or like a sports wager. I mean, that's
true
to me. That's the only thing that's really going to start to translate over. Cause we were trying like 2-1. They don't like sports bettors. Don't really know what that means.
They don't know what the payout's going to be. They don't know how to figure out the payout.
Yeah. So we were saying like, okay, this horse is 2-1 right now. Now what that means is they're +200. So here's what, you know, we would go, okay, this horse is a favorite to win the race and he's +200. Well, if you bet a favorite in sports, you're getting -110 at best, right? So that's what's appealing about horse racing. You're getting the most likely horse to win the race and you're getting a +200 price. I really think if horse racing would begin to try to lay it out like that, sports bettors who are fine on a daily basis laying -110, -150. If they see, you kidding me? I can get +250 on the most likely horse to win the race. I'm now interested in this. That's a huge return on my money versus what I usually do.
It is.
But it just doesn't feel like there's any kind of marketing. I think horse racing feels like we got to teach them how to read the past performances. Honestly, that's really probably not what we need to do. We need to teach them that there's a lot of money to be made here on these wagers. But a story for another day. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but my eyes were really opened up to it's not a learning curve of how to read a past performance as much. It's a learning curve to try to learn how to even bet and what it means.
Oh, it does. And I know you get asked all the time, probably just like I do. Hey, I'm going to the horse races. I've never been. Mm-hmm. What should I do? You know, and if you try to get into it with people and say, hey, get a form, they don't know how to read the form. You got to have somebody there beside them that knows how to read a form.
Yeah.
Horse racing betting is so complicated. It really is. And there's so many ways you can go and so many different types of wagers to make. It is very difficult to teach the general public how to do this. It is. We don't have racetracks all over the country either. You know, we don't have them in every state. They're not just everywhere to where people can go and learn.
No.
Yeah,
we don't. But there's something happening in the chat. And what is happening is you guys are living in the horse racing bubble. Mm-hmm. Okay. I gotta have to address it because it's not the facts.
Okay.
Shoddy says she doesn't understand sports betting, which is, that's fine.
Yeah, sure.
Amateur Alchemist says, I think most of the non-betting public is like Shoddy. No, they're not. They're not. They understand sports better than horses.
That's right. It's not even close.
And that is a fact. That's not my opinion. Okay. No, that is a total fact. And what now, Shoddy might be confused because she's in the horse racing bubble. You bet on horses.
Yeah.
That is a minority of people that are mainly just playing horses. So that's where I think people in horse racing and the horse racing bubble, they tend to don't see the full picture. And I'm just going to give you the full picture. Okay. I am on VSiN and Samich. It has a show on VSiN, and I'm a guest on VSiN every week. And Samich has a show every weekend. We are the only two people on that whole network that follow horse racing, right?
Sure.
I never talk about horse racing on VSiN ever, except for Saturday. Samich never talks about horse racing
because that's except not what for Saturday.
Because all of their viewers don't care.
They don't care.
Now, they cared Saturday, but they don't after that. So, no, the betting public and the non-betting public, when they go to Vegas for their, you know, their vacation, they're betting on sports. They're not betting on this stuff. Like, well, they're not – the casuals are not betting
on
sports, period.
Well, everybody thinks they know sports.
Or not betting horses, sorry.
Right. But everybody thinks they know sports.
Yeah.
They think they know because they played it. They've been around it. They've been to games, things of that. It's a little bit easier to try to figure out what to bet you know, a lot of people just bet winners who's going to win. Sports betting is not any easier to get them right than horse racing, but it's easier to make a decision. And it's a lot easier. Okay. If you're educated in horse racing, it's a lot of work to pick winners. It's a lot of work to handicap races. Sports betting's not. It's not as much work.
Yeah.
You got, you know, like Oklahoma City and Dallas last night. The decision was, can Oklahoma City cover? That's basically was it for me anyway. I thought they were going to win. What's the point spread too much?
Yeah.
That's, you know, I don't get into first period scores and all that crap. There's just too much goes on in that to can screw you up. And then you look and say, okay, what's it going to pay if they cover? And it was minus 110, so a $100 bet gets you $92. For me, well, that's good enough.
And here's number two of it. If you go to Vegas and you place a wager, okay, first of all, the minute you place that wager, your price is locked in. It's not going to change.
Right.
And the amount is typed on the ticket. You have bet this amount. If you win, you get this amount back.
That's right.
I mean, so even if they don't understand it, they quickly understand it.
Yeah, they do.
If they get into it.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, I'm with you, Shoddy. Like, I understand horses and their odds better than sports and their odds immediately when I see them.
Yeah.
But I'm also in the bubble. And I think the problem is outside of our bubble, it is a world where there are vastly, vastly many more people gambling, and they don't even know our bubble exists. And that is the honest to God truth of it. Yeah. And I'm not trying to be a downer, because the people that are listening to this show, they're in the bubble. They're like, yeah, no, I get it. I don't understand what he's talking about. I'm talking about, and I'm guilty of it too. My eyes have been opened working on the sports side of it with the Visa network and being like, oh, they don't give a shit about this sport outside of this state. They won't ask me about the Preakness, the Belmont. They don't even know what Oakland Park is, and they don't want to know it, right?
Yeah.
That's where we have a huge problem, and we're going to have to expand the bubble, or it's just going to keep shrinking and shrinking.
Well, you go into Walmart today. Say you go in there, you do a survey. You go up to 100 people. How many of 100 in Joplin, Missouri have been to a racetrack?
Oh, well, not very many.
10?
Maybe, yeah.
How many have been to a football game? 60?
Now, Dennis says the only thing they might know at best is Breeders' Cup.
No way.
They don't give a shit about the Breeders' Cup. And here's why. It's during football season.
During football season.
They don't give one shit about the Breeders' Cup outside of our bubble. Nobody does.
When I got to go in and got involved in it, I didn't even know a Breeders' Cup existed. I knew the Triple Crown. I knew there were racetracks around the country. That was it.
Yeah.
Breeders' Cup, what the hell's that?
And I love, to me, the Breeders' Cup is better than the Derby. Like, there's no better event. I absolutely love it. Yeah, and if I can love it and I didn't know about it, we could get other people. But
it is at the wrong time of the
year. It's a hard sell with the NFL and college, you know.
Oh, it is.
It is what it is. It is what it is. It's during football season. It's going to be tough. You're talking about the guy that's handicapped, you know, 30 football games, and they want to bet him, and they start at 11 in the morning and they end at midnight. Why am I going to turn the channel to horse racing?
That's true.
So, yeah. I mean, that's where it is. And that's fact of it. So, but the flip side of it is there are more gamblers now than ever, and it's just going to keep growing and growing. They're there. We can get them. We got to find ways. And I think, you know, trying to come at them from a sports gambling standpoint is one of the ways to do it, you know. But we got to find ways, because, again, the market is growing with gambling. So this sport has to find ways to get those people. That's the bottom line of it. And, you know, I heard from someone, this is not VSiN related, different subject, but I've heard from someone that works for a ADW app that's kind of newer. And they said, we got a ton of downloads of our app Saturday. 70% of them deleted the app on Sunday.
Really?
Yes. He said, our division was super pumped. Wow. We got a ton of downloads. And he was like, I don't know how the hell they knew this, but 70% of the accounts were closed on Sunday. So it just shows you.
It's a tough sell.
Hey, Derby, cool. We'll do it. Download the app. We made our bets. We cashed or we didn't. We cash out. I don't need this again until next year. Why do I need it to take up space on my phone?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I still say there's a large portion of the population that thinks that's the only race they run on that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do.
And here's the problem, JW. Make horse racing better. That would help. That would help the people in our bubble for sure. It's still not going to, like the outside world doesn't really know what's happening in our sport. They don't have any idea.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I've said for 100 times when we have some tragedies at the tracks and the people in the bubble are just worried to death.
They don't care.
They don't. Nobody knows.
Outside world doesn't even know. That's the thing. No. Like, how, you know, it's impossible to handicap due to injuries. PED. The press paints it. What press? Nobody. No press covers this. The DRF. Yeah. Is that what we're talking about? I mean, that's again. That's going out to the people that already know, right? Yeah.
Do you think ESPN has constant updates on the horse racing every day? No.
Honestly, like the press picked up the Santa Anita situation because like they killed 20 and 30 horses, you know. Yeah. They picked up the Churchill Down thing because it was Derby week, but they don't, you know.
They could make some kind of a big deal about this and draw negative publicity because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story. And then the Baffert thing as well. But you go in a typical Walmart and go, have you ever heard of Bob Baffert? And the answer is no.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. The Baffert story was a big story when it happened.
Yeah, but people not to the general public.
To the general public, that was a little bit of a story.
A little.
However, we're getting ready to do the show. We're in a production meeting, and they were like, where's Baffert at? Like, why isn't he here? I was like,
he didn't even know. Yeah.
See, I said, he's suspended. So he's like, what? He is. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is what, like, again, the outside world,
it
is what it is.
Well, Marco, you make another great point that I've said for years.
Yeah.
Another thing about horse racing is your stars don't run past 3 years old. So we don't get to follow them except a very brief time. And Zenyatta was one of those horses that was different, ran till she was six or seven. And that you just don't see that. You don't get a chance to love the horse. They don't run enough.
Right.
And that's another issue. We don't have any Tom Brady's. We don't have any of those kind of people. You know, horses are short. They don't, their careers are short. The good ones, the great ones are. And it's an issue that there's nothing you can do about, because if you're an owner and you have a Curlin, you've made a hell of a lot more money in the breeding sheds than you ever would have running that horse.
Right.
And
that's
the bottom line. That's your money making. And that's what you have to do. Now, a female's not going to make you that kind of money because they can only have one foal a year.
Well, okay. The bottom line is star horses help. There's no doubt.
Yeah, like,
there's no doubt. I'm not arguing that. We need more stars for sure. Yeah. It's not gonna be a game changer. It's just not. And I know that probably angers some people when I say that, but it's not. And why it's not is because it's gonna attract new fans for sure. Zenyatta brought new fans.
Everybody
to the race.
Watch Zenyatta. Yeah.
Pharaoh and Justify, you know, they saw him on TV. It brought new fans to the race. So it is going to help grow the game. There's no question it's going to help, but it's not going to be like a massive influx of people.
No.
That's just it. And to your point, that's kind of the problem as well.
It is.
When they retire, do those people hang around? You know, is it a short-lived, okay, I'm going to watch that horse when it happens? You know what I mean?
Well, they need another one to come along to jump onto, and that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right?
This could fix it, too. Horses don't talk enough. We need more talking horses.
That's good, JL.
Curtis, I can confirm, says, feel like the average person knows Bob Baffert, but they may not be able to name a second trainer. That's true, 100%. He still is the face of the game, the most popular, the most recognizable face in racing is Bob Baffert. There's no question about that. So
I still don't think the average person knows who he is.
Yeah. I think JW has a ton of good ideas to help horse racing people currently. I don't think there's any doubt. It's computer syndicates, lower takeouts, fixing the juicing problem, all stuff would be great for bettors currently.
I don't think the general public gives a shit about the juicing either.
They don't really even know about it. Yeah. No. But yes, for our people,
for bettors, yes.
You would make the people involved with horse racing right now happier, probably get more money bet from the people in it right now. No question about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we've done well here.
That was good. Yeah.
That was good.
So what now? Let's go to NHL. We'll do
all right.
I'll put NHL up on the screen here. That went deeper than I thought it would, but people were talking.
This won't take as long.
Yeah. So, for Curtis, the general public doesn't care about takeout either. The general public bets 8 Lake Sports parlays for $10. Exactly. And okay, Curtis, how can the general public bet an 8 Lake parlay for horses? They can't.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thing. And like people, parlays are probably the most popular bet at the sports book now. And I know people are going to go, well, you can bet a pick 3, a pick 4, a pick 5. Yeah. But if I want to parlay the 3rd race, the 8th race and the 9th race, and that's how I would do it if I'm betting sports, I can't do that.
No.
Well, that's a big problem that you're not going to get the general public. And look, both things can be true. You can do things to help get the general public interested. And then you could also lower takeout and quit the drugging and quit the computer syndicates for the game to be good as well, right? Like both things need to be happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, you go somewhere and you start talking football. Everybody wants to get involved in that. They all think they know something about football.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned horse racing. Oh, I don't know anything about that. You know, yeah. It's just, so that's why you get 8 leg parlays in sports. Everybody thinks they know something about it. So,
but if they put 3 horses on a parlay and they say, God, I'm getting like 12 times what I get on this football parlay, true. They might bet it.
They might.
That's the thing. And again, JW, you don't have to forget the public if you fix horse racing. Why don't you do both? Like
you got to keep the public. You don't have to.
Well, get all the public, but forget horse racing. No, do both. It shouldn't be that hard to do both.
The issue is we don't have enough of the public.
Well, the issue is one and the it's not. You can do both. Like it's not one or the other.
Yeah, I know.
Have a group of people working to fix horse racing and a group of people in marketing working to get more bettors to the horse racing. And then when they get here, it's better because you had this group of people working to try to fix the horse racing's internal problems. I mean, it doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think that's the point I keep trying to harp on here. I'm not against you. Yeah, fix horse racing. It's got a lot of problems. Those problems are going to get smaller and smaller because we get less and less people unless you try to get more people involved. It's really that simple. So, all right, that's it. I'm done with it. Hockey, let's go to it.
Okay.
All right, let's start with the West. Colorado comes back to win 4-3 last night in overtime. Stars blow a 3-goal lead. When this series started, Colorado was plus 100 to win the series, Dallas minus 120. Now, Colorado's minus 200, Dallas plus 170. Yeah. Can Dallas come back and win this series after that brutal loss?
Well, of course they can. They did the same thing against Vegas. They lost the first 2 games. It is a brutal loss, and I don't think Vegas is near as good as Colorado. But, yes, they can. It's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know. I mean, Dallas could come back tomorrow or whenever they play again and win 5-0. You just don't know. And then those odds will all change again. So that was a huge win for the Avalanche. We already covered that. That's a huge, huge win. And, we're talking about ratings and things. Now we're talking about a sport nobody gives a damn about either. And, you know, and how do you improve their ratings? I mean, my God, the sport itself is just fantastic. It just does not play well on TV for some reason. But anyway, I think Colorado's going to win. I picked them to win the series before it ever started, but I don't think this is anywhere near being over.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't either. I picked Colorado before the series, so obviously I cannot pick them at minus two. I don't have to pick them at minus 200 because they're plus 100 to open the series. So,
yeah,
listen, I think Colorado wins the series, but it's really not because of game one. It's just because I think they're better. I really do. All right. Vancouver and Edmonton. Right now, this series is the only one that hadn't started yet. Edmonton is minus 260 to win this series. Vancouver plus 220. Series preview here. What do you think about this one as a whole?
I would not. Minus 260. I think that's way too high for Edmonton. Edmonton is probably going to win this series, yes. But this is not a slam dunk, I don't think. Edmonton can throw out clunkers. And they're favored tonight on the road. I took Vancouver tonight. I think that's the smart money. Mm-hmm. I do. I just, because I've seen Edmonton play bad at times and just be just, God, awful. Mm-hmm. So I took Vancouver tonight. I do think Edmonton will win the series, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. I hope they do because I like to watch them. They're fun to watch. They really are. And yeah. I think they get a little bit of a boost because they got the stars. You know, they got the star players. And but when you look at their track record, they lose some games they shouldn't. So I like Vancouver tonight to get that first one. And I just can't take Edmonton as that solid a favorite. So yeah. I do think they're going to win the series, though.
If you like Edmonton to still win the series, you might wait and see if Vancouver does win a game. And then that overreaction in the market, you could get Edmonton at a better price. I would not bet Edmonton at minus 260 to win the series. It's too short.
No,
but God. I also don't. I didn't bet Vancouver either. It's just one I stayed away from.
To me, that's not as a terrible bet at that price. They do have a chance to win it.
Yeah, I mean, they do. I agree. Yeah, if you're going to bet them one side or the other, I would bet Vancouver.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt.
All right, let's go to the Eastern Conference now. Florida and Boston. Boy, Boston got off to a great start, a 5-1 win. They dominated the Panthers in game one. Now, the series prices when this thing started, Boston was plus 160. The Panthers were minus 190. Current odds, it's a pick of minus 110 on both sides here. So the overreactions to the game ones. But what do you think? We were on, like, some of the commenters earlier, or that was last week, were like, oh, Florida will kill him. We were the opposite. We thought Boston would make this a good series. What about now, one game into this? What's your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. Nobody kills Boston. Nobody. Yeah. You don't kill Boston.
No.
They're too classy. They're too good. They're too solid. They're too fundamental. They don't get blown out of games very often. They're always there. Mm-hmm. They're defensively, they're so sound. And they're Boston Bruins. They're the Boston Bruins. You just don't run them out of the gym very or out of the rink very often. So I was surprised. I had a parlay with them, and I thought they would win it. They didn't. This is a huge game tonight. Will they bounce back? Mm-hmm. They let that game get away from them a little bit. They were playing pretty well, and then Boston went on a roll. I like Florida to win tonight. I think they're still going to win the series. But this one might go seven.
Yeah, I would go in on Florida now. They were too heavy of a favorite to start, but then at a pick 'em, I would go Florida. So I still think Florida's going to win this thing. I think it's going six, seven games, though. Yeah. I really do. Last one, the Rangers in Carolina. Rangers hold serve. They're up 2-0. When this thing started, I bet the Rangers when it started at plus 120 with the Hurricanes at minus 140 to win the series. Look at it now. Minus 300 for the Rangers, plus 250 for the Hurricanes. Now, let's remember, these games have been tight. It has not been as decisive edge in the way the games have been played for one team or another. Carolina at plus 250 to win the series is kind of crazy. I'm tempted to bet them. However, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, down 2-0 is tough.
It's tough, and but they got the next two at home.
They do. Can they win one of them? They, of course, obviously they have to. That was a tough loss last night. That was a tough. But, you know, in hockey, it doesn't seem to matter. They bounce back out of those games. The Rangers are beatable because sometimes they struggle to score. I'll tell you what, they're damn good. I don't think I can take Carolina down 2-0 to a team like the Rangers, but I do think they may come back and make it a series. It'll be fascinating to watch, see if they can get game three. If they do, then suddenly, you know, we're back into it. So I think the Rangers are going to win it, though.
Dennis says, make a save or bet. I've thought about it on the Canes because if you watch the games, it's razor thin. And Shesterkin, you know, here's the deal. Shesterkin's going to play game 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's the problem. Is. But he really did steal the game last night.
He did, but that's not unusual.
Right. He's capable of stealing two more. That's the flip side of it.
Yeah, it is. The guy's great.
Yeah. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to take the Hurricanes, think they're the better team. Yeah, but they still got to solve that. But
that goalie makes all the difference in the world.
I'm on the Canes to get this thing back to a series for sure, though.
Yeah,
for sure. So. Quickly, Stanley Cup Finals odds. The Edmonton Oilers plus 410 and the New York Rangers plus 410, the Colorado Avalanche plus 410. So those are your three favorites. They're all three the same price. Florida plus 650, Dallas plus 750, Boston plus 800, Carolina plus 900, and Vancouver plus 1600. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have the Avalanche at 12-1 and I have the Stars at 11-1.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm getting back involved here, but what are your thoughts on the current market there?
Yeah, I'm all over Colorado as well. You're getting 410. That's not bad. What was Florida? 650?
Florida 650.
And what was Boston?
Boston right now plus 800. As Dennis mentions, he thinks that's interesting, and I agree.
I do too. Yeah.
I still think if you haven't bet Florida yet, plus 650 is interesting still.
Yeah, either one of those.
Yeah. The thing you got to do in the play, you cannot be reactionary game to game, right?
No, you can't. Not hockey.
Yeah, they got beat 5-1, but win 4-1 and it's like, well, it's a tied series. We'll see. You know,
5-1 doesn't mean anything in hockey.
Right.
Game so got away from them. It's not like getting beat in football 42-0. It's not. Yeah. They got away from them and this happens.
JL here with an interesting take. He said he might take Boston and Florida, whoever wins the series. Yep. You got them, and you got them both at good enough prices where you can do that. You can really do the same if you think Colorado and Dallas are the two best teams. You can pretty much do the same
with Dallas as well. What were they? 800?
Dallas is plus 750 right now.
Yeah, I would take Boston. That's the one I like the best out of all of them.
Just an example here of how these things fluctuate, and just don't be too reactionary and get down on a team. When Dallas was ahead 2-1 or Dallas was behind, 2-1 against Vegas, they were plus 1200. Yeah. So that just shows you that the thing really fluctuated. If you still believe in a team, you can still get decent prices. And look, if Dallas wins 2 in a row against Colorado, their odds may flip, you know? Right. So you just got to keep an eye on that.
You do.
It's going. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kevin makes a very good point about the Stars. And I made that in the beginning as well, Kevin. They are going to be wore out by the time they get through this.
Yep.
Because they had a terribly exhausting series against a very good Vegas defending champion Vegas team. And now they're playing just a powerhouse. And if they get through those two, they may be flat going into the Edmonton, Vancouver, whoever comes out of that, and they may get beat.
Well, good news is they're not getting through it. So. Okay. Yeah. they'll be very much rested because they've only got about 4 or 5 games left to play this season.
Yeah.
All right, NBA, let's do it. Let's see. We've got the Thunder and the Mavericks. We'll start with them. It's 1-0 OKC. Let me pull up the series prices here for this one. Just a second. Okay, this thing opened at the Thunder minus 122 and the Mavericks plus 100, so even money. It's now the Thunder minus 230, Dallas plus 184. So you see that reaction there. Sure. What do you think after watching one game of this one?
Well, I'm very excited for the Thunder. because they didn't have any trouble with them. And the thing, as I mentioned a while ago, that I like the best is their defense. They, anytime you got a team that can score like the Thunder can, and then you throw a little defense in there as well, well, you're going to be hard to beat. And they just defended them very well last night. So I'm really enthused about that. I think they're better than Dallas. The key with the Thunder, as we've said all year, they have to shoot the ball well and they can't turn it over. And if they can just be physical enough against the other team, they're okay. I like them in this series a lot. I think they're going to win it. And Dallas will win a game somewhere along the line, but this team is very, very good.
Yep. I agree. I really think the Thunder are going to beat them. They are physical. I thought they played great. You can't really bet them at minus 230, but I think they were great. Now, here's the real shocker. Let's go Nuggets, T-Wolves.
I'm shocked.
Minnesota 2-0 lead. They won both games in Denver. Minnesota was plus 164 to win this series before it started. Denver minus 205. Now, Minnesota minus 700 to win the series.
Holy cow.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Denver plus 470, the defending champs, plus 470 to get out of the second round now, and that's probably warranted. Do you give the Nuggets a shot, or do you think Minnesota is just too good?
They beat the shit out of them in game two.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a game. Mm-hmm. They just killed them. Now, I didn't watch a whole lot of it. The Nuggets are down a player, right? And then Murray, and he out.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a big, big step for them. I think they're done. I just don't see. Here's the thing about Denver. And I would have taken the Timberwolves before the series, because when you look at the first round, Minnesota destroyed a very dangerous, to me, Phoenix team.
Yeah.
I thought Phoenix would beat them. I did, because of their experience and everything. I thought they would turn it on and get them. They didn't win a game. Mm-mm. They got thumped. Then you look at Denver. They could have easily lost the series to a Lakers team that's very flawed.
Mm-hmm.
They were lucky to win a couple of those games. The Lakers couldn't hold the lead. Lakers were at 70% of that series. So I would have taken that money on the Timberwolves after that first round. Never would have done it before the playoffs ever started. But after that first round, this team is good. They are really good. They were good all season long. They're underrated because they don't have the name and they play in Minnesota. And it's kind of like somebody was commenting, oh God, he wants to watch Minnesota and OKC. And again, it's two teams that don't have any names. You know, they're from small cities.
Mm-hmm.
I like Minnesota to win. I just don't think Denver's good enough to beat them.
How weird is it for you? And this, I think it's going to happen. Oklahoma City, Minnesota in the finals.
How weird Western is it?
Finals.
Yeah, it is. When you look at, you know, you got the Lakers, you got the Warriors, you got all the name teams from Denver, the Suns, all the name teams, you know, even Dallas is not much. You know, they haven't been there in a while. I'll tell you what, if you want to just watch pure basketball, Oklahoma City and Minnesota, that will be an unbelievable series.
It'll be good.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about bad basketball. Celtics and the Cavaliers. By the way, this is so – this East, I can't it's hardly watch. Bad. It's so bad.
I can't watch it either.
Boston and Cleveland, this thing opened. Cleveland was plus 820. Boston minus 1,600. Boston's now minus 8,000 to win the series. Cleveland plus 1,800. I mean, is there anything to talk about here?
Not really. They're just better. And, you know, that's all there is to it. They're just better. And, well, you know, they're going to have to play bad. They lost a game against the Heat when they weren't ready to play. I mean, it's possible they'll lose one, but they're not going to lose this series, I don't think.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the Knicks and the Pacers. This is a little bit more. I mean, Knicks open at minus 300, Pacers plus 235. Now it is Knicks minus 420, Pacers plus 310. I think the Pacers have a shot.
They do. The Knicks have just been super ending games.
Mm-hmm.
They have finished games better than the teams they played.
Yeah.
Same thing with when they played the Sixers. They won the last 4 or 5 minutes of almost every game in that series. And so the Pacers had them the other night. I thought they were going to beat them, and they didn't. And this is a big game tonight. I don't think the Knicks are that good. Brunson has been just incredible in the playoffs. The Knicks are doing it without a good player. That Julius Randle's out, which would make them more dangerous. Probably for the league and everything, they want Boston and New York. That would be a classic finals.
Yeah.
And it probably would draw a lot of interest. I got the Pacers tonight. I don't know if they're going to win, but I think the spread with 4.5, I think they keep it close. I like them tonight.
All right. You're going to go with the Pacers. I think the Knicks do win that series as well, though.
I do.
All right, NBA championship odds. Here we go. Last little thing we'll talk about here. Boston Celtics are -115. The Timberwolves are +300. The Thunder +650. The Knicks are +1100. Nuggets +1600. Dallas +1800. Pacers are +9000. And the Cleveland Cavaliers +20,000.
Yeah, this one. No way I'm taking Boston. I don't think they're going to win it. So
I don't think even if they win it, betting a team at -115 in a future is not good.
No, stay away from it.
I would take Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
I would too. Yeah.
+300, +650.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody out of that East is going to – it would be there. So you got to just eliminate all three of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get somebody out of the West.
Yep.
And I think Boston is dominating because the East is bad. Yeah. I don't know that Boston's that good.
Yeah.
Doc, I agree with you. I think I would probably take Minnesota.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah, I think, and as we are talking, the Boston Celtics go down to -130. I'm looking at live odds right here.
Yeah.
Now, so now Boston down to -130. So if you're playing that, I mean, even if you cash
it, I just don't.
Yeah. I don't either.
No.
Yeah. Thunder still an underlay. I agree. +650. With who's left and how they're looking, they should be a little lower than that probably. So that is pretty crazy. There's no doubt. Yep. Okay. Anything else you want to talk? Oh, by the way, here's one for you.
Okay.
Here's a prop bet. The Boston Celtics versus the field right now. Celtics -115. The field is the quote unquote underdog at -110. Incredible.
God, that's amazing.
You can literally get seven teams for a better price than you get one. And again, I'm not an NBA person at all. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
I don't either. I don't have them picked to win it.
No.
I think they're good. Yeah. But what do you want to take the field at -110? You know, I've got to get better than that, but definitely take the field. I agree with Doc. Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
It's nuts.
I agree.
Wait till Cleveland. Okay, wait till Cleveland beats them tonight, and then it'll all change. Or whenever they play again.
That's a thing. It's like you say, wait till Cleveland beats them. Then you're like, Cleveland's not beating them. I mean, I'm sorry. Those teams in the I watch those teams in the East. Is like these teams suck. Like they're not very good.
Yeah, well, it's no fun. Well, the Knicks are kind. The Knicks Sixers series was kind of interesting to me. Okay. I watched a little bit of that, but the Cleveland Orlando series, no. Okay. I think that won 7 games. I had no interest in it. So,
all right. Well, that's you. Got anything else on the NBA before we wrap it up here?
Nope.
Okay. I did want to bring this up. Dennis is asking a question for myself here. Does watching the Food Network while eating make food taste better? Does anybody here do that? This is a text message Dennis and I had a little bit earlier. Said, I thought I would ask and see if it makes sense to pop a dude. So have you ever watched the Food Network to make your food taste better that you're currently were eating?
Usually the food I'm eating is not on the Food Network at that time.
He's saying more of what he means is no matter what food he's eating, if he's watching the Food Network while he's eating it, it makes his food taste better.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have to say no.
I've not tried it since you told me to do it, Dennis, but I could see maybe the point, but I'd have to try it. I'll report.
Yeah, I used to watch it a little bit.
Now, did you watch the Joplin version of the Taste of the Town, Joplin, Missouri? Did you watch that on the Food Network?
No.
So
did you?
Yes, they went to, only because my buddy texted me and said, "Hey, turn it on there. They're talking about Joplin." Okay. They went to six places around town and picked out which was the best, you know.
Okay, now let me
paraphrasing what they did. They went to six places here in Joplin and they picked out what's the best place or the best meal in Joplin, basically.
So did they go to like 609?
Nope. Where did they go? Didn't go to any of the good places in Joplin.
Where'd they go?
They went to, now I shouldn't say, some of these are good. They went to Blackstone.
Pizza?
No, it's like.
Oh, it's, I know, like, where it is. Okay. Yeah.
It's good, but it's not as good as people say. They went to Finn's, which I've heard is good. I've never been.
No.
They went to Ghetto Taco, which I've heard is good, but I've never been. They went to the Hungry Monkey, which I've never heard of.
No.
They went to some
casino.
Huh?
Isn't Finn's in the casino?
No, it's over on 32nd. They went to, they went to like a sushi place.
Look.
And it was, I've heard of it. People say it's really good, but it's not, that's just not my style, obviously. No. And then there was one other place and I cannot remember, but I'd never.
They didn't go to anything. Yeah.
No.
The locals go to.
They didn't go to 1201. They didn't go to 609. They didn't go to Trops, you know.
Yeah.
None of that kind of stuff. Yeah. So yeah. It sucks. Real quick question here. What's the deal with Belmont? Do they open tomorrow at Aqueduct? Yes. So Belmont will be Belmont at the Big A, is that's what it'll be listed as. So Belmont is under heavy construction. They won't actually run at Belmont Park probably until this time, like 2 years from now, honestly. However, they run this, they're going to run the same stakes races. It'll be the same, you know, trainers that'll be there. So it'll feel like Belmont, but it's going to be at Aqueduct. Yeah. No good places really. Well, I mean, those places are good, I've heard, but no places that I've been, and I go to a lot of different spots.
Yeah, so you do. Yeah.
Pretty interesting there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So right. the Tom Brady roast, I have not watched it. No. I have not watched it, but I've heard it's funny. But I haven't had time.
He can be funny.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. That's it. That's all we got.
We had a lot.
We had a lot.
Just the first part. Better go back.
Yep. Better go back. We've went over our time for sure here, but that's it. People are saying gotta watch the Tom Brady roast. Okay. Maybe
did
today.
He make the roast or did they roast Tom?
No, Brady? They roasted Tom Brady. Okay. Well, Food Network.
I was talking about the Food Network. I thought maybe he was on there making a roast.
So I've got to watch the Phillies game first, and then maybe I will watch that next because my buddy John White's got a bet on the Phillies game. So I got to go watch that, and then I will watch the roast.
Maybe. I took Toronto as one of my best bets last night, and they got beat 10-1.
You took
because I thought the Phillies were due to lose. Berrios was pitching. He's 3-1 with a 0-point-something ERA. And I thought, okay, they were underdogs. This was one to bet. And they lost 10-1.
Okay, that's your fault, though.
It is?
Yes. You don't bet against the Phillies.
Well, they've law of averages. I just thought this was the game they weren't going to win. I thought the pitcher would shut them down.
I think the Phillies are one of the best teams.
They are, obviously.
The best team in baseball.
The best team doesn't win every game. So.
Okay, but here's my theory on this. Okay, we'll end with this.
Okay.
And I get it that you did have the ace going for Toronto. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's 162 baseball games each team plays, right?
Yes.
There's at least 10 games a day. Most time there's 15 games a day that you can choose from. I'm not looking to fade the Phillies with all these opportunities on the board every day. I'm just not looking to try to
beat averages. So.
I'm not looking to try to beat the Phillies, the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
I throw the Braves in there.
Yeah, usually. I don't usually throw anything against the Braves.
Yeah. Now I have, I did win last night, but I did lose. And I tried to fade the Royals on Monday, and that's not that smart right now.
No, they're playing pretty well.
Yeah, the Brewers. I played the Royals on Monday, and the Brewers, you know, they had them. They were ahead of them, but they got beat. Last night I played the Mariners over the Twins. And yeah, that was a hell of a game. Mariners won 10-6. They had to come from behind, and they blew it, and they came back to win. So anyway, but boy, fading the Phillies. Mm.
Law of averages is what I was playing, and Toronto had their best pitcher, and I thought, okay, they're going to lose a game before the 4th of July because right now they're just winning every night.
They look
really good.
Toronto kind of sucks. That's the other thing.
Yeah, they do. They're up and down.
They're really struggling, and I thought they'd be a lot better.
Long way to go.
Well, you were down, let's see, I'm looking at the box score, 7-0 after the 4th inning. Ooh, that's
right. Yeah, sorry. I know. I said, oh, that was a good bet.
That happens, though, in baseball. You get blown out sometimes. That's just
well, you don't have to watch it. That's my
– Oh, that's true, too.
I didn't screw with it.
Kevin B. asking, why are the Rangers -115 currently in my book against the A's? It's a doubleheader today in Oakland. So we get doubleheader baseball in Oakland. The first game is, I'm guessing, the one that's -115, and it's because J.P. Sears is on the mound for the Athletics, and that's, you know, he's the one pitcher that, you know.
Look at the A's record. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. They're right at .500.
Well, they're not. They've lost three in a row, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're still right there, though. They're not bad.
Yeah. Oakland, let's see. If you really like, you're like, hey, I'm going to play Texas. They're defending champions against the Athletics. There are good prices in really both these games, so you can see what happens there. Are my Reds due for a win? Yes, they are going to win today. I played the Reds. Graham Ashcraft on the mound against Jordan Montgomery. I think it's favors the Reds, and they're the underdog. So I took
the Reds. I played the Reds too, so that's not good.
That's very bad. Doc took Oakland. I think JP will. I would go Oakland first five. I think JP will pitch good for five innings as well.
Yeah.
All right. The Reds.
Another thing is, I don't know what the odds are. If you can find any odds, first manager to get fired. I don't think a manager's got fired yet. I would be looking at the St. Louis Cardinals.
How could he not already be? I mean,
don't know. It's bad. That's who I would be looking at. Like, if they lose again today, I think he's out the window.
Yeah. Sonny Gray on the mound today for the Cardinals. We're in a rain delay here. I don't know. It's going to, I don't even want to start on the weather. It's going to be bad today, but could be rained out. We'll see in St. Louis, but Sonny Gray on the mound against the Mets trying to not get swept. So we will see what happens there. So, all right, that's it. We're done.
We're done.
Because we've played one inning in Philly, and I got to go watch the last eight. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you right back here next week. See you right back here tomorrow for Blinkers Off and the Magic Mike Show. Everybody have a good rest of your day.